The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here for the second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We kind of went out there last hour, and I didn't say the official tagline, you know, get out, stay safe, that type of thing. So we'll come in with it this time. But all right, you're running the show today, 410 WCBM 680. I put a lot of opinions out there last hour, and hopefully you were listening. All had to do with a meeting that's coming up in Talbot County and a couple proposals by Delegate Johnny Motz, and I don't know if any of these are going to be actually turned into bills or legislation or what's going to happen with them. We haven't seen them yet, but, you know, we haven't seen a lot of things yet that's going on in the General Assembly, and we're ready for whatever eventuality comes out. To me, if you're a bow hunter and the proposals out there to, extend the firearm season for the first 2 weeks of November and into the entire month of January. It's not science-based wildlife management, in my opinion. And that's what the Maryland Hunting Coalition, has as one of its tenets, is that, wildlife decisions, should be based on sound wildlife management and not the ambiguities of political machinations in Annapolis. So, you know, we're going to stick to that, and we're going to keep pushing for that. It's got to be based in science. And I don't think that is. And I think the hunters spoke loud and clear, in October of 2014, and also again, on another occasion where the idea was floated at a stakeholders meeting to add a week of firearm season after the early muzzleloader season. In other words, open up that entire week that is now antlerless deer season for muzzleloader in late October, open that up to firearm season. And it was roundly opposed by the hunting community, including the Maryland Bowhunter Society and the Quality Deer Management Association and the Maryland Hunting Coalition. So, you know, it's just not a good idea. But let the politicians do what the politicians do. And if the hunters don't soon step up and start to get a little more involved, and we've tried to make it as easy for them to do it, who knows how it's going to go? Maybe I can read it. Let's see here. Let me see what I can come up with here. This is interesting. We put this stuff out on Facebook, you know, social media. Everybody says social media is the way to go. Okay, that's fine. We have 3,267 people like us, and 3,245 people follow us. So we put out this post the other day. It said, to our Facebook friends, January newsletter was sent today to members. If you did not receive yours and you're a member, check your junk and your spam folders. If you are not a member, feel free to join the coalition. And I put the link out there. We put the link on the Facebook page, okay? So, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. That was not right. This was another Facebook post on the Maryland Hunting Coalition page. We put our Blaze and Camo Day coming up. February 9th, Blaze and Camo Day, our hunters rally in Annapolis during the legislative session of the General Assembly. It's an opportunity to show that hunters are engaged and that we fight. Where is it? Okay, where did it go? For our privileges, traditions, and heritage, you're invited. Download the flyer. And, of course, we're looking for a sponsor, which we've gotten. So we get this comment from a guy. Okay. What exactly will we be fighting for this year? Will we be looking to expand hunting or fighting to stop losing our rights? Are we proposing any good bills for the state to pass? Okay. Well, that's interesting. I said, did you get our newsletter? If not, join for free to stay informed. Do I have to join to find out what's in the works for this year? Can I see the newsletter without joining? No. I'm an avid hunter, fisher, and general outdoorsman, but I want to see what I'm getting into and what we're trying to do. Okay. If you're not a member, this is my response. There's no we. Coalition is anticipating yet another challenge to Sunday hunting from the Maryland Horse Council. The Farm Bureau will likely reintroduce a bill to commercialize the sale of venison. Humane Society of the United States hinted that it will challenge bow fishing tournaments for cow nose ray via legislation. Who knows what else could come out from out of nowhere? We're always prepared. Hit the website for some more information. By the way, what's the risk? It's free to join. So the guy says, actually, since I'm a hunter and your group represents the interest of hunters, I'm going to consider that a we. I have no problem speaking to my legislators about things I feel are important, hunting being one of them. The risk was I wanted to know what kind of group I was joining first. Okay. Didn't I say hit the website? Okay. I figure other people want to know what they're getting into also. Not everyone needs my email address. It seems like giving more information is better. Is there a copy of the newsletter online somewhere? Nope. Post that stuff up. Make it easy for people to find. It's free to join. We'll send the newsletter to your inbox. I hope you're looking to expand Sunday hunting. I don't agree with commercial venison sales, and I can't stand the HSUS. Is your group pushing anything new and positive for hunting, or just fighting to keep bad bills from making changes? Is anything being done to obtain more public land access? Is anything being done to make it easier to get started hunting or get more adults, kids involved? Texas currently offers a completely online hunter safety course, which Maryland accepts. Is that something Maryland should have to make it easier to get into hunting? Maryland already does have an online hunter safety education course. I hate always being on the defensive. What can we do offensively to improve hunting in Maryland? Okay, Joseph, that's the guy's name. Have you visited the website? We're proud of not only our accomplishments that we tout, but many more that we can't talk about because we work year-round in and out of public view with both lawmakers and wildlife officials. Yes, we play defense in Annapolis as well as offense. Read about our successful effort to repeal strict liability doctrine for waterfowl in 2015 and the punitive Poaching Restitution Act of 2016. Then I also said, read who our advisors and directors are on the site, leaders in the hunting community from deer hunters to trappers to waterfowlers. Ours is truly a coalition. If you want to meet us face-to-face, come to Blaze and Camo Day on February 9th in Annapolis, or attend our dinner on March 25th in Westminster. The Maryland Hunting Coalition is the only advocacy group for hunters in the halls of Annapolis. No reply to that. So, you know, if a guy is online on our Facebook page, shouldn't have to be told to go to the website to see what we do. Want somebody to answer his questions in person, and I get it. We've been around for 2.5 years almost. Two year celebration was in September on National Hunting and Fishing Day. We're publicly out there on Facebook. Our website is out there. It's pretty well done. Not perfect, but pretty well done. We post on a regular basis online, and still, there are people on social media, and we saw it again this week, who have basted us. Questioned everything we've done. Made untrue comments about legislation and have made untrue comments and blamed us for things that we didn't do. And, you know, there was a local issue that this person took exception to that we didn't step up on. Okay. They never helped us do this and they never helped us do that. Well, guess what? All you got to do is send us an email or call us. Phone numbers all over the website. Emails info@mdhuntingcoalition.org. On the 1,000 newsletters that we send out, there's an email on the bottom of that newsletter, news@mdhuntingcoalition.org. If you want to get involved, it starts on your end. You have to make that decision in your heart, whether it's hunting or fishing or anything else. Fishing? Recreational fishing? There's only one group that comes to mind, Maryland Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association. They have the same tax status that we do as a 501c4. That means they're an advocacy group. They can take political action, not a charity. Okay? So, and guess what? Donations are completely voluntary. And so is membership, completely voluntary. We are going to ask to help us financially. Of course we are. But we don't peg you with a $25 or $50 membership fee or anything like that. Join for free. Get the information. Make your own informed decision. That's what our three tagline, our three word tagline is. Information, action, advocacy. When I say we, I'm talking about the Maryland Hunting Coalition. So I've read to you some of the back and forth on Facebook. I'm not going to read some of the other social media because it's ridiculous. But it's this is social media to me. I've been on this air for 28 years. And we have this interaction of, you know, personal phone calls. Although anonymous, just like online, if you want to be, you can be anonymous and call in here and express your opinion. Hey, if you hate us, let us know. If you like us, that's nice to know. If you have an issue, let us know. If there's something that bothers you, the General Assembly meets from mid-January to mid-April every year. If there's something that bothers you about hunting, or if you want us to do something, we are not mind readers. We have our finger on the pulse of the Maryland Horse Council. We have our finger on the pulse of Wildlife and Heritage Service. We have our finger on the pulse of the Farm Bureau. We have our finger on the pulse of anti-hunting groups, Humane Society of the United States, and others. Okay? We know what's going on around the state. We can do so much. We're not going to get involved if, I don't know, Calvert County wants to reduce the bow hunting safety zone to 50 yards. Maybe it is. I don't know. We're not going to get involved if a particular county wants to increase Sunday hunting, although we will offer guidance and consultation. You're welcome to contact us. We'll have a meeting with you. We'll come to you. We've done it in the past. We'll do it again. If you want our expertise, we can offer it. If you have a certain specific goal that you want a major piece of legislation changed, we can help you with that. Okay? But I'm just trying to break that silence that's out there all of a sudden for some reason. You know, through the hunting season, everybody's rah, rah, put my picture of my deer online and do that. And right now it is, as our buddy John B. says, it's quiet as a mouse's cough. So just trying to inspire the troops a little bit. I hope you're out there getting ready to go in the waterfowl blind. I hope you're out there ready to get in the duck blind, the goose pit, the deer stand. And I hope you're listening to me a little bit. But there's an organization out there that needs your support. And we're all volunteers. There's only one person who we have a contract with, and that's our advocate. And you can read about that. And you can visit our website, mdhuntingcoalition.org, for free. You visit our Facebook page for free, and nobody's going to bother you about it. But nut cutting time is when we've got to write the check to our lobbyist. That's it. So if you can help us, that's great. If not, we're going to continue to help you one way or the other. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Time for me to tell you about the Great American Outdoor Show coming up February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the world's largest consumer outdoor show. It's a nine-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and the outdoor traditions, exhibitors, and events that span over 650,000 square feet, 1,100 exhibitors. There's everything you'll need to enjoy the outdoors. It's the Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th. And the NRA Country Concert at the Great American Outdoor Show features Dustin Lynch and Granger Smith with special guest Tara Thompson. That's Saturday, February 11th, 2017. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. If you'd like more information on the Great American Outdoor Show, the world's largest outdoor show, or tickets, GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org. GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org. Hey, let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. We're coming up on nearly the end of the waterfowl season, and they've got some great firearms from Browning, and they're still doing well with them. I'm going to tell you about three waterfowl guns, actually four. I'm going to tell you about the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. This firearm comes with a 100,000-round guarantee or a 5-year guarantee. It's the preferred shotgun of Bill, the owner of Clyde's Sports Shop. It's a great gun, the A5. The BPS pump shotgun, I saw one in the blind the other day, comes in all gauges, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models. There's a 12- and 20-gauge deer rifled barrel model available. Comes with bottom ejection camo finish. Bottom ejection is, you know, doesn't spray the empty shotgun hulls all over the guy to your right. Then there's the Maxis. This is the one for waterfowl. Autoloader shotgun, waterfowl hunting perfection, 3 and 3.5 inch chambers. The power drive gas system is new and it reduces recoil. And finally, if you want to snow goose gun or, you know, something that's just all you can handle, the Gold Light 10-gauge, a proven standard for autoloader performance. A gas-operated autoloader comes with a 3.5-inch chamber, composite DuraTouch armor coating in Mossy Oak camo, and all those are available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9, 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. And don't forget their fishing hotline, 247-FISH. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bayline Exit Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
That's it? That's all there is? That's all there is on that clip? Morning, Lee. How are you, buddy? Hello, Lee.
Good morning, Alan.
That took you by surprise. Sorry, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's going on?
Alan, I'm calling about the fish kill at Jaffa Town.
Yeah. Did they learn anything?
Are you aware of that?
Is this a different one than the one that occurred a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, correct. We went down the other day and hundreds and hundreds of dead carp.
Really?
The carp, catfish, and a lot of game fish.
So what are they saying? Is anybody saying anything?
Well, that's why I'm calling you, because we're not hearing a whole lot of response on this issue.
There's definitely some serious issues up there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been going on for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Is it the same fish kill we've been hearing about?
Yeah, it is, Alan.
Yeah.
And I'm not hearing anything from the Department of Natural Resources or anything.
Well, unfortunately, these people were, I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, some of these people are unresponsive, but the good part is they work for us. They work for us. So just like any hunting issue, when it comes to a fishing issue, you've got to exert some pressure. And these people all serve at the behest of the governor. And you have local representatives in that area. Do you know who your delegates and senators are?
Correct.
Who are they? And I'm not asking you that question to name them, but I'm saying, who are they? Have you written any of them any emails? Have you gotten in touch with anybody by phone? You can go bang on DNR every day, okay? But until you go above to the next step and say what's going on with your elected representatives, and you show up as a group and you say, look, we're in your district. You know, I can bring 200 people to a meeting hall here that are your constituents. What are you going to do about it? Then you get some action.
Yeah, I'm going to probably try to get on the with your fisheries advisory committee and, you know, go that route. I do have a couple contacts in the DNR. You know, it's blamed on an algae bloom, and you don't typically get an algae bloom when the water temp is below 40 degrees. So
true.
There's more to it. Alan, I know there's a lot more work on my end to get a grip on it.
Yeah, sure there is.
I just wanted to put it out there on the air through your program just to, you know, let people know and let people know that as what you do with the, your hunting coalition that it needs to be dealt with.
Have you talked to anybody in the fishing advocacy groups? I mean, you can start with the Fisheries Council, the Sport Fish Advisory Council, or the Tidal Fish Advisory Council. There's two of them. You can start with those guys. You can start with those guys, but these are the guys that ignored the fact that we're going to allow long lines in the Chesapeake Bay for catfish. Baited lines, 1,000 feet long, unlimited, in the tributaries, wherever you want.
Yeah.
They're the same people.
I saw that in the MSSA newsletter.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Have you contacted MSSA about the fish kill?
I talked to a couple guys in my local chapter about it, and I talked to
Lee
from the Maryland Bass Fishing Association. But you know, all I'm hearing is algae bloom. So I know there's more to it than that.
I mean, I know Scott Sewell is all over it, you know, and he's called in from time to time. They did something on MPT the other night, Tuesday night, with the river keepers. But, you know, there's only so much an individual can do. You have got to get together as a group. And you have got to get together and approach the people that can make the decisions. Just like Sunday hunting. Sunday hunting is done on a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction, county-by-county basis, okay? You do something on a county-by-county basis, then the General Assembly is more favorable to look at local legislation than they are on statewide bills. So you get with your Baltimore County delegates, you get with your Harford County delegation. Rick Impolari is the chairman of the Harford County delegation. You've got who's Baltimore County, but you've got to get together with the lawmakers and the decision makers that have sway over the bureaucrats. It's a very simple process. You can go rain on some poor Maryland Department of the Environmental, employee. You can go rain on their parade and make their life miserable. Okay.
And you can go to
their boss, and you can go to the boss's boss, but you're not going to get anything done until you get a letter from your local, delegate or senator or the delegation that says, Baltimore County legislative delegation is concerned about the fish kill in Baltimore County. The Harford County delegation is concerned. Please report back to us within 30 days what you found. Okay?
Yeah.
On the other hand, Lee, if this is something that's been done through public works by a sewage spill or something like that, infrastructure failure, or let's say it's a well-connected business entity that's discovered to have done something untoward, then there's another course you have to take. You know, you've got to take the proper course of action when it comes to something like this. You got to get to the root cause, and then you got to take the appropriate action.
Problem, Alan, we haven't found the root cause.
Exactly.
I'm going to try to contact, you know what else is good is the media. And what me talking to you right now is media.
Well, of course.
But I'm going to try, you know, whenever these things get on the, 6 o'clock news, and stuff like this makes the news, that, you can really get heard that way, too. So I might throw that option out there, too. I'm going to call a couple of local TV stations and say, hey, you want to see something? It's pretty disgusting. I mean, there's literally hundreds of, when you see dead carp, that's very, very unusual. I can't say I've ever seen a fish kill of carp and gizzard shad, catfish, yellow perch, crappie, and bass.
You know all that. You know all that feeds the bay, right?
And Alice, you know, being a tributary, it's actually spread over into the Bird River, and it's pretty. For me, it's hard to take to think that this could influx into the into the upper bay or wherever it may.
Well, I mean, okay, you take a look at the crab populations. What's going to happen there? Thank God they've all pretty much migrated at this point. But what happens if it persists? You know, where's your Maryland Watermen's Association?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got people who will take action, who can get the ear of their local politician and get something done. You know, listen, let me just give you an example real quick. Okay, in 2012, the Maryland General Assembly passed what was called the Poaching Prevention Act of 2012. Okay, what that did was outline penalties. It gave the Wildlife and Heritage Service administrative power to rule on a person's ability to hunt when it comes to suspension and revocation of their license. Okay, and seizure of assets. Now, Fisheries has had this since 2009. So Fisheries has had this for 8 years now. But we gave it to Wildlife and Heritage, which means if you're convicted of a poaching fine or you're a bad guy in the outdoors, we can suspend your license, we can revoke your privileges, and we can add you to the Wildlife Violators Compact, which is a nationwide network that says if you lose your license in Maryland, you can't go elk hunting in Colorado. Okay, so we gave the Wildlife and Heritage Service that authority to do that. Well, when a law is passed, the law can be passed, but the regulations have to be put into effect. And that comes from the individual services, Fisheries, Wildlife and Heritage, Fishing and Boating now is whatever it is. Anyway, they have got to put the regulations into effect. They've got to go through the public process. They've got to go through the Maryland Register. And the regulations take time and effort to be put into place. Okay, so 4 years down the road, Poaching Restitution Act of 2016 went into effect June 1st, 2015. No regulations. Still no regulations on the Poaching Prevention Act, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012. No regulations in 4 years. Went to the Wildlife Advisory Commission. It was brought up. It lingered. It just kind of loafed along for months and months and months. So, we went to the politicians. We went to the people that passed the law in the committee. We went to the chairman and the vice chairman of the committee and said, 4 years ago, you guys passed this law. Now we're concerned that there's no regulations on the 2012 law, and that doesn't look like there's anything forthcoming on the 2016 law. We want to put teeth into these regulations. We had to go to the chairman and the vice chairman of the House committee to write a letter to the governor to get the Department of Natural Resources moving on the regulations. That was in August. Middle of September, regulations were promulgated after a lot of work by the department doing what they should have done. And those regulations that were promulgated that were crafted and submitted for public comment started in September. There was some date in November where you could comment publicly, and then they went on the public the Maryland Register in December and went into effect January 2nd of this year. From 2012 to 2017 to adopt regulations, become official, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012, it took 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go to lower level people, you can go to mid level people, you can go to upper level people, but there comes a certain point in time when you got to go to the top man in charge, and you got to find a way to get there. And usually that's how it happens. Here you got a resource. Yeah. Here's you got a resource that is being decimated for not only recreational but commercial fishing eventually, and who knows what's going to happen to the crabbing up there. And, you know, you You don't have to work your way up the ladder. You can lay the ladder down on the ground, get on the top rung, and have somebody lift you up to the top.
I went through the same process when I was up against Conowinga Dam for fishing access up near the dam.
Right.
I was one of the people that got granted the shore access, water access. After 9/11, that they took away from us. Exelon has no interest in the fishermen up there.
Oh no!
I had to go to the DNR and up to the hierarchy and bring it up at make a presentation at a fisheries advisory meeting to get heard, and then it manifested itself from there, and it went the right direction. But I know exactly where you're coming from. I'm not going to say been there, done that.
Right.
It's a lot of man hours and effort.
Have you read anything about the upgate? Matthew, our muzzleloader winner from Anne Arundel County, sent us the link here to the Maryland Department of the Environment, and it shows Eastern Baltimore County fish killed December 26th. Did you read that?
No, I haven't, Al.
It's on the Maryland Department of the Environment website.
Yeah.
It talks about the investigation. 9 freshwater fish species were affected. Yellow perch, largemouth, bluegill, pumpkin seed, carp, black crappie, gizzard, shad, channel cats, and spot-tail shiner. No saltwater fish were involved.
Just about everything that could be in Joppa Town has been affected. For somebody who likes the wintertime fish in the, wherever I can find open water, it's...
Sure, I understand that.
It's a stab in the heart.
Yep. Here's one of their bullet points. A strong cold front swept through the area just before the fish kill. A change to colder temperatures can cause algae to die, and in dying, the algae can release toxins. Data showed blooms of Carlodinium venefica, I can't say it, as far north as the Northeast River. It's algae.
Yeah.
Data suggests that water temperatures in Chesapeake Bay remained relatively high into November. The level of salinity in the area of the fish kill was unusually high. Some algae growth can be encouraged by relatively warm temperatures and higher levels of salinity. Water samples from the site in mid-December showed high cell counts of this Boris Karloff, whatever, algae. So,
Alan, I don't buy it, dude. I'm looking at the Days Cove landfill, infrastructure. Somebody dropping some poison in the water. I just don't believe algae bloom.
Right.
My daughter has a degree from Towson State, and she says, "Dad, there's no way that you can push this one on a bloom. No way."
Right. Well, that's what they're saying, brother. That's what they're saying.
We'll keep our work going with that.
Exactly. So.
One other quickie, Alan. You were talking about natural resource police not responding. We had a trespassing issue in our woods hunting, and they took care of things really quickly for us.
That's good.
I was very pleased.
That's good. Well, there's a new sheriff in town. You know, the colonel, we'll give him a shot. And if he's a man of his word, and we had a face-to-face, Bill and I had a face-to-face meeting with him, and we've been in regular communications with the upper levels of NRP here on a couple of different issues. Maybe the response time is going to be better now. Let's hope.
It was within 12 hours, and it worked out great.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
All right, Lee. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Right. And we have Don in Middle River wants to weigh in on the fish kill. And then we got Glenn in Easton. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Alan.
What's up?
Hey, I just want to call your previous caller. I know he's hard-pressed to believe the science that they're doing out here.
Right.
But, I could tell you last year it was my cousin and I, we were fishing right out there at Wilson Point right there at the park. And we were really catching these yellow perch like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it across Fox 45 News the night after, that Sunday night, it's like major fish kill in Middle River.
Yep.
I live right here. I was like, where?
Right. I
so
get
we
it.
Went out and we looked, and then you could actually see it. And I know the gentlemen really don't want to believe the science, but it is. It's the algae bloom. And I think a lot of it's caused from talking on Facebook. Like you were saying about Scott Sewell, that man's a saint over here. I'm telling you, he's really active on really getting to the bottom of it. And he's really, I don't want to say stepped up to the plate, because I only know him on Facebook and everything that he posts, because, you know, I'm on the outdoors and everything. But he's really gone out of his way. Let's put it that way.
Well, Scott is, he's leading the charge over there, and he has called us from time to time.
Yes, he is. So. And a lot of it over here, we think it's the lawn fertilizer.
That's possible.
That happened right after the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing went up at Joppa Town. It happened after the rain.
Yeah, I get it.
A combination of that and the stuff that they're spraying on the roads, that needs to be tested.
You know, the pickle juice for the ice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's doing anything or not. But
no. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation out there. And Maryland Department of the Environment says one thing. You know, the consumers say something else. The fishermen say something else. The watermen say something else.
Yeah.
You know, the public says something else.
You got to have faith in the science, though. I mean,
I don't know. It certainly seems to me to have an algae bloom highly unusual. But it is true. We've had warm temperatures up in and through November. And whether it's an algae bloom or not, I don't know. But, you know.
Another thing is around here is the geese population is just like it's out of control.
No, I know. Yeah.
You know, all their fecal waste and everything can't
yep.
be good for that water.
No, it can't be. You're right.
You know, I mean, you might just have the perfect concoction of a disaster.
You might have the witch's brew, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
All right, Don, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, Alan.
You got it. See you later.
All right.
Yep,
all right.
Bye-bye. All right, we have time for Glenn, and then we're going to take a break. Good morning, Glenn. How are you, brother?
Good. How are you today?
I'm well. What's going on?
I don't know. We got a lot going on in Talbot County today. It's the big Church of God hunt. Going to be probably people hunting in every field there is in Talbot County.
That doesn't surprise me. Yep.
Yeah. And then Delegate Johnny Mott is, I believe it's tonight, having a deer management meeting in Talbot County.
Yeah, we talked about that extensively the first hour. I read the whole newspaper article.
Yeah, yeah. I missed your first hour. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But yeah, I think he's going to run into some blowback from the equestrian people on that Sunday hunting deal.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. Of course
he
is.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, of course he is. But, you know, the hunters are going to probably be underrepresented. Just like you said, it's the big goose shoot down there. It's goose season. It's deer season. It's turkey season. And this meeting's 4:00 in the afternoon. Prime hunting time. Huh?
I know that.
You know?
But the nice thing is you can reach out to him very easily. He's very active in the community, so you see him all the time.
We're in regular communication with Johnny on a number of different issues through the Hunting Coalition, you know? And, we attended his fundraiser, and he said, yeah, we're going to do something about it. I'm like, okay, you know, let's hear what you have to say. 2 weeks of firearm season and first 2 weeks of November is not a solution. It's not. It's not science. It's not going to be supported by DNR, and it shouldn't be supported by the hunting community. So,
what is the solution?
What is the solution is more access. Okay, farmers want a lot of deer killed, and if they lease their farms, then they're going to have to write the lease that says, to hunt my farm, you and your men or you and your crew or whatever it is, to hunt my farm, you must be required to take X number of antlerless deer before you kill a buck. Okay? And the other solution is farmers, if they want increased deer management permits, then use the ones you're given now. Only a third of them are used. Okay? So hire somebody. Hire a deer cooperator. Oh, wait, that's going to cost money.
What does it take to be one of those sharpshooters that I talked about?
You've got to go through a little course with DNR, become a deer cooperator, and you've got to have a shooting proficiency card, and you got to be, I think it's reissued every year.
Gotcha.
Yep. So right. I mean, well, it's not an impossible task. You know, and look, I've got to have a proficiency test when I hunt a managed hunt. I've got to take my shotgun to a range that's designated by the county that I'm hunting in, and shoot three shots out of five in a pie plate at 50 yards. And I qualify as a managed hunter. But it's a little more precise than that when it comes to a deer cooperator.
Yeah, because they're authorized to use rifles.
They use high-powered rifles. They use suppressors. They use night vision. They put out a corn pile. They sit in a tree. Or they sit somewhere nearby. And when the deer come by, they head shoot all of them, no matter what they are. And collect them, and then they take them to the processor to be turned into food for the food bank.
Yeah, one of the great things in that article that I read was that, you know, people are trying to donate their meat, and there was no money available for the donation. You know,
there isn't. The only money that went to farmers and hunters feeding the hungry this year was obtained through the efforts of the Maryland Hunting Coalition. The only public money that went to FHFH came from us.
Yeah.
Through DNR. I mean, it was through public funds to DNR, and it took a big chunk of their public funds. So, you know, that's a budget issue. We got to fight with the governor on that one. So.
All right. Well, have a great weekend.
All right.
I gotta run.
Thanks, Glenn.
Nice
go kill some geese, okay?
We're going to give it a good try.
They should be flying this morning. Take care.
Well, I'd say. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. I talked a lot of politics here today for some reason. So let me tell you about the Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's the world's largest consumer outdoor show. It's a 9-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and the outdoor traditions. There will be exhibitors and events that span 650,000 square feet with 1,100 exhibitors. Everything will be there that you need to enjoy the outdoors. The Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg. The NRA Country Concert at the Great American Outdoor Show features Dustin Lynch, Granger Smith, with special guest Tara Thompson. That's Saturday, February 11th, 2017. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For details and tickets to the Great, including the concert at the Great American Outdoor Show, go to greatamericanoutdoorshow.org, greatamericanoutdoorshow.org, and you'll be glad you did. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9. Everything you need to get ready for fishing, get ready for hunting, any gunsmithing, scope mounting, bore sighting, gun cleaning, gun repairs, rod and reel repair, new line, all the lures, all the bait, everything. Your full line sporting goods store is Clyde Sports Shop, celebrating 60 years. 410-242-6108, or hit the website, clydesports.com. Or the fishing hotline, 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-3474, 247-FISH. Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833. 8410 W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
And we're back. All right. Listen, a couple little things. We got a picture from one of our listeners of a coyote that he picked up or somebody found on Route 70 inside the Baltimore Beltway. Looked like a pretty big coyote, roadkill. And here's something interesting. A trail camera that was stolen from private land in Charles County transmitted pictures of the subject that led officer right to the man's front door. A guy by the name of Paul Anthony Triola of La Plata was charged with theft, trespassing, and intentionally interfering with a hunter. Hunter called on December 10th, reported a trail camera was stolen. And before it was turned off, the camera emailed photos of the suspect to the owner's account. On December 22nd, the hunter called to say he had additional photos from a second trail camera on the property that showed a man in camouflage spraying deer repellent from a container and scooping